From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of Faith Free Presbyterian Church, preaching Christ in all His fullness.
We welcome you to another broadcast of Let the Bible Speak, featuring messages by Dr. Alan Cairns, the Minister Emeritus of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina. Currently, Dr. Cairns is studying the life of Abraham, the man whom the Bible calls the friend of God. Today, we'll hear another portion of a message entitled, Light Brightening the Darkness of Death. Genesis chapter 23 records the sad event of Sarah's death. Here we see Abraham experiencing one of the most heartrending occasions that can come into a person's life, the loss of a spouse. Abraham wept tears of mourning, but he had no regrets, for he had loved Sarah as a man should love his wife. Rather, he rejoiced that God had removed her to a better place and to everlasting life. He faced Sarah's death as a believer in Christ should, by the light of a shining personal testimony. Abraham used his wife's death to bear witness to his faith in God. May we know that kind of testimony when such a test comes. Dr. Cairns will continue the message in a few minutes. First, we invite your attention to a devotional thought from the pen of the great 19th century preacher Charles Haddon Spurgeon, as found in his Faith's Checkbook. Our devotional for today is entitled, Becoming Fit for Glory. The text is found in Psalm 84 and verse 11. The Lord will give grace and glory. Grace is what we need just now, and it is to be had freely. What can be freer than a gift? Today we shall receive sustaining, strengthening, sanctifying, satisfying grace. He has given daily grace until now, and as for the future, that grace is still sufficient. If we have but little grace, the fault must lie in ourselves, for the Lord is not straitened, neither is He slow to bestow it in abundance. We may ask for as much as we will, and never fear a refusal. He giveth liberally, and upbraideth not. The Lord may not give gold, but He will give grace. He may not give gain, but He will give grace. He will certainly send us trial, but He will give grace in proportion thereto. We may be called to labor and to suffer, but with the call there will come all the grace required. What an and is that in the text! And glory! We do not need glory yet, and we are not yet fit for it, but we shall have it in due order. After we have eaten the bread of grace, we shall drink the wine of glory. We must go through the holy, which is grace, to the holiest of all, which is glory. These words, and glory, are enough to make a man dance for joy. A little while, and then glory forever.
Oh, when the trumpet of the Lord shall sound, and time shall be no more, and the morning breaks eternal, bright and fair, when the sailors shall gather over on the other shore, and the roll is all up yonder, I'll be there.
On that bright cloud this morning, when the dead in Christ shall rise, and the glory of His resurrection share, when His chosen ones shall gather to their home beyond the skies, and the roll is called as yonder, I'll be there.
When the roll is called up yonder, I'll be there.
when the roll is called up yonder, I'll be there.
So let us lay before the Master from the dawn till setting sun. Let us talk of all His wondrous love and care. Then when all of life is over and our work on earth is done, and the roll is called up yonder, I'll be there.
Listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We want to tell you that we're greatly encouraged by the response of you, our listeners, to these broadcasts. We appreciate the letters, emails, and phone calls we've received from so many of you, some wanting to say thank you and telling us how much the Lord has blessed your heart through His Word, some speaking of life-changing experiences found through the preaching of the gospel. Some have written to ask for the literature that we offer here on the program. We want to remind you of the LTBS Audio Magazine. This is available in CD format only and is similar in content to the Let the Bible Speak quarterly magazine, containing articles of great spiritual interest as well as sacred music that will point you to the Lord Jesus Christ. You may have a free copy of LTBS Audio Magazine simply by writing to Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. You may email us at ltbs@freepres.org. That's ltbs@freepres.org. Or you may telephone us toll-free at 866-877-LTBS. That's 866-877-5827. Also, if you enjoy the broadcast, you may like to visit us on our website, Let the Bible Speak Radio, or ltbsradio.com. Don't forget the word radio, ltbsradio.com. In this connection, we'd like to call your attention to a special feature on the website. During recent months, Dr. Cairns has been receiving questions from both believers and non-believers regarding various issues, such as, why did the Sabbath change to the first day? How do we know that the Bible is the Word of God? Is the emerging church dangerous? The LTBS radio website now contains video clips of Dr. Cairns providing answers to these and many other questions. These video portions are listed under Q&A with Alan Cairns. You're sure to find these presentations to be informative and enlightening. Q&A with Alan Cairns is found on ltbsradio.com.
The gospel alone has the light to chase away the darkness of death. Didn't Paul write to Timothy saying, "Our Savior Jesus Christ hath abolished death and hath brought life and immortality to light through the gospel"? Abraham was feeling some of that day. As he stood and looked at Sarah's body, lying dead, he considered not just her body, but her soul. Standing there, he must have asked the question that Job asked, "Man dieth and wasteth away, man giveth up the ghost, and where is he?" That's a question that must come to the heart and mind of every bereaved person. Standing over his wife's dead body, this was the question: where is she? Where is she? The all-important question. And here, thankfully, Abraham's tears were at least in part tears of joy and happiness, because though her body was dead, her soul was not dead. She was in the paradise of God. What a light that sheds in the darkness of death. Paul put it beautifully in 2 Corinthians chapter 5. The testimony of every believer, absent from the body, present with the Lord. As he stood there pondering her soul, I have no doubt he pondered his own readiness to die. And though he wept in natural grief, Abraham knew that Sarah was ready to die. And as he thought on it, he knew that by the same grace, he himself was ready to die. He must have felt that day, "I know every time I stand in the presence of death, that something to which I never become used, and I trust I never shall." Standing in the presence of death, he must have realized death is the great test of all religious profession. What does it matter what you believed in life or what you did in life if it won't stand the test of death? If your religion is not good enough to die by, you're a fool to live by it. This is the great test. The Bible says it is appointed unto men once to die, and after this, the judgment. Jeremiah asks the question, or should I say, Jehovah asks the question of Jeremiah in chapter 12 and verse 5. "If thou have run with the footmen, and they have wearied thee, then how canst thou contend with horses? And if in the land of peace, wherein thou trustedst, they wearied thee, then how wilt thou do in the swellings of Jordan?" Let me paraphrase the question. If the little troubles of life are enough to overthrow the peace of your religion, if the little troubles of life are greater than what you believe in, how are you going to do when the waters of the Jordan of death are rising around your soul? How will you do in the swellings of Jordan? That's the test of religious profession. A serious question. What hope have I that will be stronger than death, mightier than the grave? What ground have I to hope It is not enough to say, the gospel is a great hope. The gospel gives great hope. That is all very true. But what ground have I personally upon which I may stand and say, this God is my God. This Christ is my Christ. This forgiveness is my forgiveness. This redemption is my redemption. This heaven is my home. What ground have I for my hope? Standing there in the presence of death, Abraham wept. But he wept not as an unbeliever. He wept to know that his wife had gone to the paradise of God with a solid ground for hope, and that he was following her there. And as he thought of that, he must have felt his own mortality. 10 years older. My, I want to tell you, it changes your life. Some of you young people can hardly understand this. It's always, unless by some freak accident, it's always your parents' generation or your grandparents' generation that are dying. When you stand in the presence of death, in your own generation, people perhaps even younger than you are, their race is run. If you've any wit or grace at all, it'll make its mark upon you. I've said it, and I mean it. My life, my heart, my thinking, my attitude, my feeling, none of them has ever been the same since the day I stood at my younger brother's open grave. And ever since that day, I have carried with me, I think there's hardly a day that I haven't given it serious thought. Ever since that day, I have carried with me, not just intellectually, I may die today, but I've carried with me the stamp of my mortality and the necessity to live effectively for the Lord. Only a fool can stand in the presence of death without realizing I too must pass this way. Time is fleeting. Opportunity is passing. We may all do well to join Abraham at the deathbed of his wife, to join in his tears, and to join in his resolution. As Solomon put it, whatsoever thy hand findeth to do, do it with thy might. Why? For there is no work, nor device, nor knowledge, nor wisdom in the grave where thou goest. Whatever you're going to do in this world, you do it now. For as soon as you die, you'll not do anything else in this world. You'll not give out another gospel tract. You'll not give one other word of witness. You'll not make an approach to any other soul regarding Jesus Christ. You will not again, in this world, in this age, have opportunity to do the things that now as a Christian you ought to do. Abraham no doubt felt all that. But as he stood there, feeling all these things, the light that encircled him was the light of the gospel of life. Second thing I remark is this, that he faced the darkness of death by the light of a shining personal testimony. Verse 4 is a wonderful statement for a man in such a position. He said, I am a stranger and a sojourner with you. That was not just a statement of his nationality. It was a statement of his spiritual relationship with the people of the land. Great sorrow often proves what really is in a man, and certainly it proved what was in Abraham. He did not allow his grief to consume him. Now let me state that again. Abraham, as I've already said, grieved deeply. He grieved truly. There's nothing ungodly, there's nothing substandard about real grieving on the part of Christians. Some people have the idea, you know, that if you really believe the gospel, then you'll not grieve. That's nonsense. Utter nonsense. God has not made us in a way that we are not supposed to grieve the deep loss of our dearest ones on earth. His grief was real. But however real, Abraham could not allow it to consume him. He could not allow his grief to obliterate his testimony. He remembered, while I'm grieving, I'm still a man of God. While I'm grieving, I am still representing my Savior. This is the time when the eyes of the world are on me. This is the time when I am put under the microscope. This is the time when what I believe has to shine forth in all its glory and in all its beauty. And so, he confessed, to use Paul's words, that he was a stranger and a pilgrim in the earth. He took the opportunity of his wife's death to state his faith in Christ. That's a wonderful thing to do. However, and this is very important, Abraham didn't merely sound holy in the presence of death. He didn't merely sound holy because he was sorrowing. Abraham was not conjuring up some testimony for this occasion. The fact is, Abraham was holy. Abraham had a testimony way before this ever happened. Verse 6 tells us, in the sight of the children of the land, he was looked upon as a prince of God. They knew him for what he was. So that now, when he made this great testimony before them, it had the ring of truth. His words in the presence of death were not hollow nothings, uttered sanctimoniously but vainly. How often that happens. Again, as a minister of the gospel, I have been in many, many homes of sorrow and bereavement. And people who never attended a prayer meeting in their lives suddenly became mighty prayers. People who had little spiritual conversation before now had it dripping out of them, at least for a little while. But there's a hollowness. Oh, don't misunderstand me. God can use this sort of situation to create a new man and give genuine holiness. You'd pray that he would. But so often what people say to sound holy in the presence of death is just hypocrisy. And let me tell you that sanctimonious words in the presence of death don't give any ease to your suffering. All they do is add to your grief. Abraham had a testimony. And there in the midst of the darkness of death, he began to give that testimony. And he found that it is As we often find, it's in the time of your greatest personal loss, it's the time of your greatest personal weakness that you can establish the most effective testimony with the world. Christian, remember this when death comes to your family. Your grieving may be real, but remember this. The world will be watching you. They want to see, is there anything to this gospel that this person has so long said he believes in? Is there something here that really does give a light in the valley of death? Your personal testimony will be such a light. And you'll find that it is in serving Christ, even at that time, that the burden of sorrow and the depth of grief is taken away.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope that you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We are here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of God, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, A New Beginning, a booklet that sets forth God's way of salvation in clear, concise, and biblical ways, you may have it free of charge simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. If you wish, you may call us toll-free at 1-866-877-LTBS. That's 1-866-877-5827. You may email us at faithfpc@freepres.org. That's faithfpc@freepres.org. Also, we invite you to visit our website at www.freepres.org. If you would be interested in considering the establishment of a Free Presbyterian Church in your area, by all means let us know. Once again, you may call us toll-free, 1-866-877-5827. On behalf of Dr. Alan Cairns, this is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us once again as we let the Bible speak.